Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran here with us.
Hello.
And we're talking about Aquaman, aren't we?
Yes.
Along with some other stuff. So Rebel Moon we'll also be talking about. And then I watched Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, you watched Rebel Moon?
I didn't watch Rebel Moon. Oh, okay. I didn't mention that. Yeah, you'll review Rebel Moon. I'll review Godzilla Minus One. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into your review about Rebel Moon. I've heard things about it, and that's why I haven't really had a chance to watch it, actually, but I was planning to watch it at some stage. Mm.
Because you're a Zack Snyder fan, so I thought
I am. I love Justice League.
Yeah, the movie he did direct. You love a movie that he did direct.
Yeah. Out of all of his movies, my favorite one is Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Mm, you really like that movie.
Yeah, I do. Mm. Yeah, yeah. But it feels like it's not his movie, even though it is. Like, it literally has his name in the title, but it feels different to all of his other movies in a way. But first, we'll talk about another movie in the DC universe, which is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. So we wanted to review this sooner because losing our memory around this movie, because I slept for some of it. We both slept for some of it. You slept at the start, I slept at the end, which is not a good sign, but I think we might have just been tired as well. So it was a Christmas release here in Australia, so we did watch it during the week of Christmas, or just after Christmas, directed by James Wan, who is the one.
Yeah.
Is that you saving that up for this episode?
No, no. Yeah. Off the cuff, that one.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah. He's from Melbourne, or he studied in Melbourne or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he went to RMIT.
Yeah. He's obviously mostly known for his horror films, Conjuring.
But he's done Fast and Furious.
He's done Fast 7. Mm. Yeah, Furious 7.
He's done Aquaman.
Did the first Aquaman. Did you know the first Aquaman is the highest grossing DC movie ever?
Oh. For some reason, I thought it would be something Zack Snyder, but I guess it isn't. Yeah.
No. Like,
it's shameful that BVS isn't. Like, it really should be.
Yeah, and this is even compared to, Christopher Nolan's ones as well. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's shameful that it's not one of those either.
So it's the highest grossing DC film ever. So it's not a Batman movie or a Superman movie. It's an Aquaman movie. So obviously they were going to make a sequel to this. So I think they started making this movie a long time ago, but it's been delayed again, like a lot of these last few DC movies. It's been delayed a very, very long time. And it just so turns out that this ends up being the last film in the DC Extended Universe because James Gunn, I was going to say James Wan, because you've got that
he's not
head.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. James Gunn is starting his new DC Universe, the DC
Gods and Monsters.
Yes, which is like the, are they calling it chapters?
Yeah, chapter one, I think.
Yeah. Chapter one of the DCU. What do you think of the movie?
It's all right.
Okay.
Like for the parts I was awake, I was like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I did sleep for 20 or so minutes at the start. I would say it's a bit cringe. It's, yeah.
It's got like jokes. I feel like it was inspired a lot by Marvel, but like Marvel from like 6 years ago. So like it's got like these quips and jokes that, you know.
I feel like it was Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2. What was the last one that came out?
Bad Boys for Life.
That's the third one?
Yeah.
So that one's okay.
I don't know. I can't remember. But it feels like Bad Boys 2, just in terms of like, it's like a buddy cop movie, but.
That movie specifically? Because there's so many other buddy cop movies.
Because it feels like it's from 2001.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously we've got Jason Momoa coming back and we've got Patrick Wilson coming back. So it's essentially everyone that was in the first one's coming back for this one.
Yeah.
So
apparently Randall Park was in the first one.
He was in the first one.
Yeah, I do not remember that. Yeah, he's in this one as well.
He was in the end credits scene of the first one.
Oh, is that all he's in?
No, he's in the movie as well.
Okay. Yeah.
But in the end credits scene, I'm pretty sure he meets up with Black Manta. And that kind of leads on to what happens in this movie. But yeah, he was in that first one. He's in it a lot more in this one. It's the same villain again in this one, which
is Black Manta. But there is this other guy.
Yeah, there's another
dude. Just Sauron.
Yeah. Patrick Wilson isn't a villain. I guess they're doing kind of like a low-key thing with him again. Like, I realized how similar this is to... So if you combine Wakanda from Black Panther, put it underwater, you get the story of Thor 1, and you combine everything, you get Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Pretty much. And then The Dark World is this movie.
Yeah, he has to break him out of jail and
Yeah, and they do a bit of like team up stuff.
Yeah.
But it's
Yeah, they do buddy cop stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Except do you think this is worse than The Dark World? It's pretty tough.
It's probably about the same.
Yeah. It's just it's boring. That was my experience with it. I just found it to be just forgettable and boring.
I thought it was probably as good as the Marvels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought Marvel's was...
worse than this.
Probably worse than this, but it at least tried. Like, there was a couple more interesting things in there. Because it had the three, you know, characters and...
This has some stuff that is moderately interesting. They visit, like, weird fish people, which is sometimes interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the...
Some of the CGI is really bad, but some of it's actually good. Okay. Yeah.
Some of it's okay and some of it's not great.
Yeah.
I thought the Patrick Wilson, Jason Momoa team up would be better.
Patrick Wilson's kind of
good. Yeah, Patrick Wilson's good.
Yeah.
I think he brings up the movie a bit.
Jason Momoa is... I guess he's Jason Momoa. I preferred him in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, at least he was like completely over the top there.
Yeah.
In this, he... Is he a good actor? I don't think he is.
He plays himself.
Yeah.
I think he's a, like, he's in the same realm as like a Rock.
Yeah.
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 Is a Rock a good actor?
Probably not.
No, but he's got charisma, so he just carries it.
Yeah. So I think all the scenes he had with Patrick Wilson, he was pretty good.
Yeah. Patrick Wilson's actually quite good in this. Surprising. Yeah. Like, he's probably too good for this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually trying, like everyone else. I think there was a lot of studio interference in this movie as well because of various things. I think they had to cut some stuff out.
Yeah.
Amber Heard is in this movie.
I thought she would die.
Oh, I thought,
spoiler alert, she doesn't die.
I thought she wouldn't be in it as much as she is.
But it's weird because it's like there's this whole story at the start where he's like, hey, I'm a dad, But Barrett's just not there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a single dad.
Yeah, I thought it was just a single dad, but then she's
He's, like, talking about his dad about... It's like he's married to his dad.
Yeah.
His dad's the wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she's there. Like, she just turns up. And then she's actually in, like, some action sequences.
But she's got maybe five lines, and they all look like they're filmed in a cupboard with no one else.
Yes.
I don't think there's a line in this movie where she's in the same room as someone else.
Yeah, probably not. Like... There's scenes where she's in the frame with other people, but she doesn't say anything.
Yeah. She's just in the background. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're
not... Look, she's in this movie, but like she does nothing. She does absolutely
And her
nothing.
Performance is as bad as it usually is. So it's not like don't...
Well, she has no scope for performing. Yeah. She has nothing to do with this movie.
Yeah. But she's in it. I thought she wouldn't be in it at all. Like, I thought she'd be in, like, a couple of scenes or something, but she's in it.
She's in the background of a lot of scenes.
Yeah. She's third billing. Like, it's like Jason Momoa, Patrick Wilson, and her. So,
Randall Park has more to do with this movie.
Randall Park does have quite a bit, along with Black Manta. The story was... I feel like it could have been interesting, but for some reason I just wasn't that invested in it.
They did like a whole, what's it called? It's like climate change kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That was too on the nose.
Yeah.
Like they mentioned it and then they're like, this whole thing's happening because of something else. And it's,
it wasn't. Also, the villain's Sauron. He looks like Sauron and he does Sauron things.
Yeah, kind of.
They hold the thing, it's like you put on the ring.
Yeah. And he forces people to do stuff.
Yeah. And he looks exactly like him, except instead of like an orange tinge,
it's like
they put a green tinge on him.
Yeah. I did like some of the action. It was okay. They go onto this like island for a bit and there's some like...
Weird animals.
Mutated animals and stuff. That was kind of interesting. But overall, it was kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, I fell asleep. I was tired and I missed the start.
So you missed the part where the villain gets the trident. That's all you missed, really.
I think so. Yeah. But look, it's got stuff in it. It's not terrible, but it is not great either.
Yeah. Is it better than The Flash?
No. Oh, yes, actually. Yes, it is. It's better than The Flash. The CGI is miles better than The Flash.
Yeah. There are parts of it that are actually pretty good in terms of the visuals.
Yeah.
I think it's worse than The Flash.
Nah.
I think Flash is more interesting than this.
The Flash is just... the people that like The Flash are just blindsided by cameos. It's like, oh, yeah, but this person's in it. It's like, yeah, what does he do, though? Nothing.
Batman?
Yeah, he does nothing. Yeah.
He does stuff.
Yeah. If The Flash is trying a lot more than this is.
Yeah, Supergirl. At least it's a bit more ambitious. Like, it was trying to do
but rubbish. It's shit. It's shit ambition. They've done... So this is the thing. You pack in a story that is got very good potential and you ruin it so they can't do it again. That's what The Flash is. So they can't do Flashpoint again because they've ruined it.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why they had to reboot the whole universe.
At least this is just nothing. It's just whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't ruined any potential Aquaman stories. Who gives a shit about Aura Kalkum or whatever?
Yes. Yeah, also that substance, they kind of, like, allude that it's, like, really dangerous and stuff, but it doesn't really do anything.
Mm.
Like, in the story, they're like, oh, don't move it too much or, like, don't hit people with it.
Never does anything,
I thought they would, like, make it explode or something, but nothing happens.
I think this is less, like, that's why it's better than The Flash. It hasn't ruined as much as The Flash has ruined. So they can't bring Michael Keaton back as Batman. Because they've ruined that. They can't do a bunch of shit cameos because they've ruined that. They can't do Flashpoint again because they've ruined that.
Yeah.
They can't do Supergirl like they did in that movie because they've ruined that.
They can always bring them back, though.
Yeah, but they can't do it. They're not going to do Flashpoint for like another...
Yeah. Well, they don't need to. It's not like... You don't have to do Flashpoint. Like, it's not a...
But it's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to. Like, you can do other stories with, with Flash.
So you would, you say you'd rather them do a shit version of Flashpoint and not do it again than not do Flashpoint? So
no.
Your option is a shit Flashpoint and never do it again, or a good Flashpoint, but they did it. They did well.
That's a pretty obvious choice.
Yeah. So like, you're picking the shit Flashpoint.
No. Well, would you do a shit Flashpoint like the one we got?
Yeah.
Or would you just do a really boring Aquaman movie?
It's average. I think it's as boring as Flash was. It's the same. It's the same level of boringness, except the Flash is just more ambitious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I think it's better than. I think it's not better than the Flash. I was going to say it's better than the Flash. I think it's not better than the Flash, but they're both not good. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're comparing like not good movies to each other. So
Flash had a lot more to work with and should be a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best DC movie this year is Blue Beetle.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the rest are really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not that was like amazing, but it was.
It's like Blue Beetle and then like Miles, then Shazam.
Oh, yeah, Shazam.
Aquaman,
yeah.
And this. Shazam, Aquaman, and then Flash, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Shazam, I don't even remember what Shazam was. Maybe was this is as boring. Good as Shazam.
Yeah, it was also boring.
Yeah.
Those two are boring. Flash is not boring, it's just bad. But at least it tried something. It attempted something, but yeah.
It's bad, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to do any spoilers?
Yeah, do you want to?
Okay, if you haven't seen Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, go watch it if you want. Well, box office wise, I think it's not doing great again, but not the worst opening ever. I think the worst opening ever is still Wonder Woman 1984, and then Blue Beetle, and then this, I think that was the ranking. But it's going to lose money anyway.
Is this worse than Wonder Woman 1984? No, I think Wonder Woman's worse. Wonder Woman's worse than The Flash.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. When I watched Wonder Woman 1984, I actually didn't think it was that bad, but it came out at the end of 2020 and we hadn't watched any movies for the whole year. So it was like the first movie we watched in a very long time. So I think I was a little bit blinded by that. Mm. But looking back at the movie, it was not good.
Mm.
It was pretty bad.
This might be better, I think, than Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It probably makes more sense than Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it makes more sense. This is boring, but it does make sense.
It's a coherent storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, like what they did, like there's nothing too, crazy in terms of the plot, but it makes sense. All right, spoilers. I thought the end credit scene was interesting. Like, wouldn't they want to end with something more than that? Like, they're ending the DC Extended Universe with
What do you end it with? Like, how can you end it?
I thought they just wouldn't have an end credit scene.
Yeah. That's probably better than I don't know. This is kind of funny, I guess.
Yeah. So it's Patrick Wilson having a cheeseburger with a cockroach in it. So that's the last scene in the DC Extended Universe. Also, the last scene of the movie, did they actually do that, like, because that's just exactly the same as how Iron Man ends.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. It's, well, kind of. It's not exactly. Yeah, it's similar. Yeah.
Yeah, because, well, everyone knows. Doesn't everyone know him anyway? I thought people knew him.
No, it's not like a shock factor that he's Aquaman. He just says, I'm Aquaman.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think people are shocked that he's Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Iron Man where he's revealing his Iron Man.
Yeah, his identity. Yeah, yeah.
Also, I thought the movie was leading to Aquaman giving Orm the throne again.
Yeah, I thought he would do that as well.
Because it goes all throughout the movie. He's like, I hate this job and I don't want to do it. And then Orm's like, I loved it, but I thought you wanted it.
Yeah. And obviously, like, Orm is better.
He's like a better person now. Yeah.
Like he's a better king. Like he actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So I thought it was leading to that.
Yeah.
But then he's just like, hey, just go.
No, you're actually banished and keep out of the way. Like, don't make too much noise and I'll continue to be king.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was going to give up the throne. I thought that would have made more sense, but yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
And I thought Amber Heard was going to die at that start, but she just survives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have a kid. It's in the trailers. They have a kid now.
Yep. He's not in it much. They nearly kill him at the end, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the way the actual bad guy dies, so they do this whole thing where they like need his blood and need Aquaman's blood. So they take the kid because he has the same bloodline, and obviously they don't kill the kid, but then they get Aquaman's blood anyway. But then they immediately kill the bad guy.
Yeah, he dies straight away. Yeah,
like
he catches one trident, and then he
just dies. I'm like,
well, he doesn't have a second arm.
Yeah,
so he can't catch the second trident.
Yeah, but it like breaks the other trident as well. Yeah.
But if he had a second arm, he could have caught it. So he doesn't have one. So
it all goes back to that flashback scene
where they cut off his arm. Yeah.
That was a very important point in the movie. Yeah. Where one of his arms gets cut off.
Otherwise, he would have survived. Yeah. Had both tridents, and they would have, it would have been unstoppable.
Then it would have been the end. But it was very easy in the end. He just kind of.
Well, it's easy.
Chuck a trident, and that's it.
We'd chuck two tridents.
Yeah. Well, he catches, the first one.
You gotta, if you just chucked one, he'll just catch it. So, yeah.
He's very good at catching tridents.
But he only has one arm. So,
They found his weakness.
His greatest strength is also his greatest weakness. He should have dropped that trident and then caught the other one.
So that happened very quickly. So I thought the end was like whatever. And then Black Manta's.
I was happy it ended though. I was like, I don't want another fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Manta's, at least he sticks by his values. He's like, Aquaman goes to help him and it's like, nah.
Yep.
And he just dies. Die.
Yeah. Or maybe. Well, it doesn't matter because we're never going to see this world again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they would have done another villain. Like, at least do something
they
else.
They did. They did the guy that could catch trinus.
Who appears for like, 2 minutes in the movie. But I thought they would have done something else, but it's essentially the same cast again. Remember they were going to do like a lot of other DC movies, and one of them was like a Trench.
The Trench, yeah.
Apparently that was just a code name for a Black Manta movie.
Oh, yeah.
So they would have done just a Black Manta movie, which I don't know, somehow would have.
Maybe that was this, and they've just injected Aquaman into it.
I think it was in between this and the first Aquaman. So I think it was doing some stuff in between, potentially. Yeah. Because he has like people, like he's got like a team of people that does stuff, and he's got all his equipment and
tech
and stuff. So, yeah. I don't really care.
I don't care about DC movies. Well, these batch of DC movies.
Yeah.
And probably Marvel movies at this point either.
Well, yeah. I haven't even started watching What If.
After I got home from New Year's at 3 o'clock, I made myself 2 minute noodles and watched one episode of What If.
Oh, what a way to start the year.
Yeah. And
2 minute noodles and What If season two,
episode one. At 3 a.m. And I don't really remember it. I know Nebula's in it. It's like a murder mystery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I heard it's actually all right, season two, but I haven't seen any of it yet. Also, Echo is coming out in
soon,
a couple of days. Yeah.
It's too much. I can't do it. It's too much stuff. just don't give me this much stuff.
Yeah. Yes. It is a bit of a overload, and it's too much like.
Too much average shit.
Too much average. Yeah. Too much mediocre stuff. Like you've got to.
If it was that much like high quality stuff, then sure. Yeah.
Yeah. When you've got so many options for entertainment, it's got to be better than average now. Like your time is worth something, so it depends how much you value your time, but you can't watch all this average material for hours. So average to bad material.
Do you want to talk about average material? Do you want to move on to the next thing?
Yeah, on the same lines.
Yeah.
Rebel Moon,
Zack Snyder.
Yes.
I didn't actually hate it as much as
everyone else.
Well, I heard it was really bad, and it's not great, obviously, but it's not like 3 out of 10 or whatever.
It's a 4 out of 10.
I think it's at 5 at the moment on IMDb, but it's probably skewed by like Zack Snyder bots. Yeah. It's just like why have you made this? Because it's like shot for shot remake of some movies.
Yeah. Someone described this movie as like a really bad cover of Star Wars.
There's like shots in this that are taken directly from Star Wars, like not even trying to be different.
Yeah.
I thought he was doing it to make it like a more violent, more gritty Star Wars.
Like more adult.
Yeah. It's not though. Yeah. It's not like nothing violent. There's no blood in this movie. There's not a single drop of blood.
Yeah. So there's this whole thing about the director's cut now, how that's meant to be the actual version. But
why does he make people watch movies twice? Yeah. Just put out the actual movie first.
Yeah. And it's on Netflix as well. It's not like it's coming out in the cinemas and you need to like censor it so that you get a bigger audience. It's on Netflix. So just put out the actual version.
It's done. I'm not watching this again. Like, it wasn't great watching it the first time. Why would I watch it a second time? Because it's slightly more bloody.
Yeah.
The story's just Star Wars.
Okay.
There's like an emperor and there's like a Darth Vader character.
Yeah.
And then there's a Luke Skywalker character. And then they've injected like Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, where she goes around and recruits people.
Okay.
Yeah. And in the end, they don't even do anything. They just all get captured and they get lucky.
There's a part two though. So in part
there
two,
is,
that's
because
where
the emperor isn't in this yet.
That's where you're going
to
see.
The emperor is the main chick's dad.
Oh, okay. So they can switch it up a bit. Who's the Darth Vader character then?
He's like a, he's just like a general character. He's that guy. There's lots of guys in this that you would know. He's in Alita.
Oh yeah, in who in Alita?
Oh, he's a bad guy in Deadpool 1.
Oh yeah, that guy.
That guy. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sophia Bolotelli is like the Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
She's a villain in Kingsman 1.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Digimon Hansu's in this.
Oh, yes. My favorite actor. Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam is in this. Who else?
So it's got people.
It's got people. It's like, got the names. It's got lots of people you would know.
And
Corey Stoll is in this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Of Ant-Man
fame. Who else is in this that you... No, they go recruit some people and like they recruit like you think it's going to be like good, but they recruit like three people and it takes 1.5 hours and then they do the end of the movie in 10 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
So the whole movie is just her recruiting people, but it isn't like even fun.
There's no banter. It's just.
They recruit people and they never talk again. So they recruit them and then they're just in the background of scenes.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
How long is it?
2 hours. So it's not ridiculous.
It's not painstaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's a starting 15 minutes where they introduce everything. And then there's about an hour and a half of recruiting people. And they have like deep conversations that aren't actually deep. And then someone betrays them. And then they fight for a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
The premise is that there's this town, there's this little village that they live in, and you don't care about spoilers, I'm guessing. This is spoilers.
Spoilers for Rebel Moon.
There's a town, and the main chick lives in that town, and then the Darth Vader guy comes over, and they're looking for these rebels, and they need food, and they want to take all their food, essentially. So he's like, we're going to come back in 10 weeks, and we're going to take all your food. And he kills Corey Stoll. And they're like, oh, shit, we're going to starve. What do we do? And then Sophia Bolotelli is like, let's go recruit some people to go help fight. So then they go recruit a couple people. And then they meet Charlie Hunnam, he's like the Han Solo character, I guess. And he has a ship. He's like, I'll take you guys to recruit people. And they recruit like three guys. And then someone betrays them. Guess who betrays them?
Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah, he betrays them because he wants money. And then they just fight and they kill everyone. But the Darth Vader guy's still alive.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in the end, he does like a, do you know, at the end of Star Wars, how they do the call with the Emperor? He does a call like that with the Emperor.
Okay. So they introduced the Emperor. And then
She was like she used to be part of the Empire, and she was like a high officer, and then she she deflects. Or, yeah. I can't remember. I can't even remember why. I had to watch it in two parts. Even though it was only 2 hours, I had to break it up because I got bored in the middle. She leaves because it's too much killing or something. I can't remember. I genuinely can't remember why she left. Oh, no. So she was... There was like a king, and the king had a daughter, and then the current emperor does like a coup and kills the king and the daughter, and she was protecting the daughter. So I think that's why she leaves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I will not watch it.
It's very derivative of a lot of stuff, but it doesn't do it as well as any of those things. And you would think that Zack Snyder would do action well, but he doesn't in this either. Like, there's no one gets their limbs chopped off or anything. It's just a lot of slow motion, like twirling and then hiding behind cover and shooting people and just doing that over and over again, which I don't know. In general, you'd expect Zack Snyder to be good at action, but it's not. Yeah, he doesn't even do that well in this. Yeah.
That's
kind of his strength, isn't it? Like, people watch his movies for his visual style.
Yeah, his visual style. Like, yeah. That Army of the Dead movie that he made a couple of years ago, that wasn't that bad. I thought that was all right. Like, not amazing, but it was fine.
I wouldn't say this is that much worse than that. It's probably on that level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was okay, but I guess the expectations for this one are much higher. All right. Anything else on...
I don't know. Will you watch the second one?
I guess, do I need to watch the first one? I might watch it, just go straight into the second one.
Yeah.
If it's not required. I mean, based off what you told me, doesn't seem like that much happens.
The one scene that got me, I'm like, this is a direct copy, is, do you remember the start of Force Awakens where Kylo Ren comes out of the ship?
Yeah.
And it's on his feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, exact same shot. Like the thing opens, the ship opens, the smoke is there, and then it's the feet of him coming out.
Yeah. I guess he's inspired by Star Wars, but...
But, like, there's inspired and then there's directly copying scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it better than Star Wars? No. Like Rise of Skywalker?
Well, at least Rise of Skywalker is somewhat original. It's shit.
Well, it's actual Star Wars. So,
yes. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's terrible. This is just like a mishmash of stuff he's seen and put together. He could have made this whole movie without shooting a single scene. He could have just put stuff he's seen from other movies into a montage and made this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't have made sense because all the characters would be different.
Yeah.
But it would be the same movie. Yeah.
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 Okay. So Rebel Moon is not a recommendation. Worse than The Flash.
Probably around the same.
Okay.
Around the same as The Flash, yeah.
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 Better CGI, though.
There's not much... it doesn't have to use that much CGI in this, surprisingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there would be more because it's a sci-fi.
There's like spaceships and stuff. Well, also the CGI is not bad. Like, at no point did I go, "Oh, that's really terrible."
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of people either like or don't like Zack Snyder. So, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard many of the like big Zack Snyder fans saying that this is good though, which probably shows that it's not great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's just not edgy enough.
It's really not edgy at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's meant to be adult Star Wars. Like, it's exactly the same as Star Wars. There's nothing more adult in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that director's cut that you got to wait for.
So. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it again. I'm not. Yeah. If there's a director's cut, I'm not watching it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right. Godzilla Minus One. I watched it a couple of days back. This is a Toho version of Godzilla. It's released on the, I'm going to say the 70th anniversary of Godzilla. It's a Japanese film. It's based in post-World War II Japan. So it talks about, so obviously it's a Godzilla movie, but Godzilla isn't actually in it that much. So it's much more about the characters and them sort of recovering from post-war Japan, like living in post-war Japan and getting over the effects of the war, but then also having to contend with this new threat, which is Godzilla. So it revolves around this central character who was in the war and has a lot of regret from it. But then he, immediately after the war, he also encounters Godzilla, and then he's got some regrets from that as well because he wasn't able to act when he first encounters Godzilla. So it revolves around him and then how he, you know, moves back to Tokyo and Tokyo's rebuilding, and he meets this other lady and another kid, and they kind of form this family, and then the story sort of progresses from there. But then Godzilla is this threat that's kind of there in the background. So Godzilla is probably only in this maybe 4 or 5 scenes in the whole movie, but when he is in it, he's like very terrifying. So it's not like a Godzilla in the Hollywood Godzilla movie.
He's main, he's villain.
He's, because in the Hollywood ones, they always make it out he's like a hero. He does
destroy stuff.
He destroys stuff. Like first, he's like not.
They're like, oh, who is this guy? But it's like, oh no, but he's doing it for the people.
There's always like some redeeming factor. Yeah.
He like not kills a monster or something. Yeah,
not in this. Yeah, so in this,
originally in Japanese Godzilla is a villain.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So in this, he's absolutely like, he's just a monster. He's, whenever he comes, he's like, you know, bad stuff's going to happen, and it's terrifying. And he's, every time he uses his atomic breath as well, you know that it's like, is going to cause some serious damage. So this was only made on a budget of $15 million, apparently, which is minuscule compared to like the $200 million...
Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, like budgets that they have for those kind of movies. Also, before this, I saw the trailer for that other Godzilla X-Kong.
Godzilla X-Kong, yeah.
And like it's completely different to this. Like this is a much more serious movie than that. And like you take it much more seriously, whereas that seems like just like a,
seems like boys having fun,
you know? Just another action movie. There's like a little King Kong as well. Did you see?
Yes,
yeah.
Little King Kong, who's the villain? Who are they fighting?
It's a bad King Kong this time. So in the last one is a bad Godzilla, right?
It was Mecha Godzilla.
I think in this time it's like a bad King Kong.
Okay.
So then he gets Godzilla to help him. But Godzilla can just destroy everyone. So I don't get like, at least in the first one, it was another version of Godzilla. So like.
It was, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mecha Godzilla. So it was like kind of equal. But I don't know how it's going to work in this.
Maybe there'll be more than one villain. Maybe they haven't specified who it is yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is very serious, kind of sad movie. but it's kind of true to the origins of Godzilla. And you actually feel like Godzilla, firstly, you care about the human characters, which is kind of the flaws in most of the either Godzilla movies, where you don't really care about the human characters. They make you care a lot more about them in this, and you actually follow their story. And when the action goes down, it's quite well done as well. So I think it's probably the best Godzilla movie that I've seen in a very...
I hear that it is the best Godzilla
movie. I'm trying to think if there's a better one. I don't think there is, yeah. I think
Godzilla 2014 is probably...
Yeah, it's better than that. Like that
people
was
say Shin Godzilla last year was also really good, but this is better apparently. Yeah.
No, I think this is, but it's not a typical. If you like the action version of Godzilla, and the more like, you know, lighthearted, like it's just a bit of fun kind of thing, this is not that version. This is a serious movie. It's almost like a nice companion piece to Oppenheimer. Like, it's that kind of tone. It happens at the same time, which is why I'm saying it's like a nice companion piece, because you get the American side in Oppenheimer and you get the Japanese side with a Godzilla in it in this movie.
All true events,
obviously. Yes. But the Godzilla looks pretty cool in this as well. Like, he's kind of like...
It's more OG Godzilla.
Yeah, it looks like... The ones in...
They try and make the Hollywood ones a bit more, like, expression, like, have more expression to their face, but he's, like, more just animalistic in this one.
Yeah, he's just like a monster. But. And I think they make him look, like, in the Hollywood ones, sometimes they make him look, like, gigantic, like, massive. Like, he is big, but in this is, like, maybe bigger than, slightly bigger than a big building. Like, he's not, like... two times the size of a skyscraper or something. Like, it's not that big.
He's pretty big in all of the Hollywood ones.
Yeah.
Except for the really bad one.
Oh, yeah, the Matthew Broderick one.
Yeah.
So he's big, but it's not, like, massive in this. And you get, like, an insight into, like, how Japan, I don't know how realistic it was, but how Japan was after the war and how, like, war ravaged they really were. And like how regretful they were as well, and then the rebuild that they went through. So it's interesting, but it is a serious movie and has its sad moments as well. So but definitely worth a watch. I don't regret watching it at all in the cinema. I think it's definitely worth it. Yeah, so that's a recommendation. That's a cognitive recalibration. Obviously better than The Flash. At 10% of the budget of The Flash. So it shows that you don't have to have a massive budget to make a epic looking movie either. Because there is some like big action destruction type scenes and it looks pretty good. Like I didn't notice it being low budget or anything. Yeah. So when we go to Japan, we can watch the next version. So there is a...
Oh, is there another one coming out?
So spoilers for Godzilla Minus One. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it. Definitely go watch it. So there is, at the end, the lady that he meets, she supposedly dies in between. Like she saves him from one of the attacks from Godzilla. And she supposedly... Like we think she's dead, but she's actually alive at the end. But then... In the very last shot of the film, you see that she's got like some sort of mutation or something on her neck. Like it's like black veins, like crawling up her neck. And then they also show that Godzilla is still alive.
Godzilla never dies.
Yeah. Like he's regenerating himself or something. Mm. So he'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's Godzilla Minus One.
Perfect.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
I think we were going to talk about Loki Season 2.
I still haven't seen it. And yeah.
All right, like 2 minutes on Loki Season 2. I think it was pretty good. Like in terms of the way the Disney Plus shows have gone, it is one of the better ones. They do set it up well. About three quarters of the show, I felt like it wasn't even a Loki show. Like it wasn't really in it that much. But then the last two episodes, they bring it back to him. But then this character's departed so much from his origins. Like, he's just like another guy now. Like, he's just like, it's not like Loki anymore. Mm. Like, the initial Loki is just like this other dude. And they give him all these powers that they never really explain how he gets them or how he like controls them or anything like that. So now he can like control time. Like, he can jump in between timelines within the TVA. So, like, within the TVA, it looks like there is a sense of time, even though in the first season they said there is no time in the TVA. So it gets confusing. Like, some of the stuff gets really confusing as to how he's controlling some things. And they also seemingly write sort of Kang out of the story. So Kang is in it, like another version of Kang, Victor Timely, like his initial version. And you think he's going to be important, but he actually ends up being not that important to the story, which could be because they're maybe writing Kang out of the story altogether. So could be that. But basically what happens at the end of the season is, the season's been out for a while, so spoilers for Loki season 2, but Loki basically controls time. Like, he's like binding together all the timelines. And that's how the season ends. So, like, that's where he is now. Like, he's kind of in between all these timelines and he's like holding them together. So, yeah. But it was good, but I don't think it's as good as everyone says it is.
Mm. Lots of people really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm just over Marvel in general. Yeah. But, like, I thought it was good, but I still have so many questions, like, how this stuff works.
Mm.
So I don't think it was that well executed. Also, yeah. Sylvie's like not even a secondary character in this. Like, she's barely in it. I thought she would be in it much more. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really comment. I did not watch enough.
I know some of our friends really like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched it all in a day and I just thought, yeah, it was like halfway through the show, I was just like, this is not really that good.
Yeah.
But then, like, to its credit, it does pick it up, especially in the last two episodes. So it does get good, but not good enough for the whole season to be redeemed, I don't think.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think if it probably came out in a time that Marvel was doing good stuff, we probably would have liked
it. Yeah, we probably would have watched it, yeah.
And we probably would have liked it, like, if it was exactly the same show.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of bogged down with other not great stuff around it, then it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It does diminish its returns. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. I think in terms of our stuff on this show for 2023, I think that brings us to the end in terms of all the reviews we're planning to do. So next we've just got our best and worst of that we will do for 2023 and our most anticipated for 2024. 2024 is interesting because I can't think of a single movie that I'm like super duper excited for, except maybe Dune Part 2. But even that, I'm like, I'll watch it and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not like dying to watch it.
Yeah. It seems like, there isn't, I'm sure there'll be some good stuff though, but yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything at the moment, but I'm sure there will be some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The Garfield movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Starring Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And Madam Web.
That would be amazing. The Hunter.
And Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know why they call him the Rhino?
Not yet, but we're going to find out
soon. Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Have
you seen that trailer yet?
No.
Have you not seen that trailer? It's the best trailer ever made.
I'm just saving it for the movie. Yeah. I just want to experience it in the movie. All right. Well, if people want to get in touch with us about their thoughts on either Aquaman, on Rebel Moon, or on Godzilla Minus One, how did they go about it?
We're on all social media platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, or you can email us at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and if you want to support the channel, you can do so via giving us a subscribe on YouTube, give us a like on this episode, and then we'll, if you obviously want to comment, you can do so as well. And if you listen to us through Spotify or iTunes, obviously give us a subscribe on those streams and also a review because that makes us more discoverable on those search engines. Cool. And if you haven't heard already, we have started another podcast, another channel. First episode's already out on that. It's called Paisa Vasool, the show. So definitely give us a follow and subscribe on that as well. Cool. So hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you're all staying safe, and we'll see you in the next one for Best and Worst of 2023.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya.